We aren't here to get stuck on the hurt. What matters is always what we choose to do with it. You choose who holds the power. Do you hold that power, or are you giving it away? We're here to see the victory.
Welcome to the Mom Guilt Podcast. I'm your host, Vanna, a dermatology nurse practitioner turned wellness enthusiast. We're not here to get rid of mom guilt. Instead, we will give you the tools and systems to get you through whatever season you're in, because when you have the right systems, you're able to experience freedom in motherhood and prioritize yourself. Mom Guilt exists to introduce you to the life-changing habits that can create a life you never thought possible. If you're listening to this, you are not here by mistake, and I can't wait for you to dive into all things wellness and prioritization.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Mom Guilt Podcast. And as always stated, if you are not a mom, you are still welcome. You do not have to be a mom to be here. If you simply want to live your best life, be a part of a community that's always looking to live our best life through wellness, beauty, maybe even a little side hustle, you are in the right place. I just need to address the elephant in the room. Ari Chase, if you can like zoom in on this brow right here. If you can't, if you're watching on YouTube, they're zooming. But I am a huge DIYer. Like, if you know me, if you're close with me, I have the attitude of I'll just do it myself. Like, I didn't want to pay thousands of dollars for a restoration hardware table. So I had someone in my neighborhood build like the wood base, stain it, and then I bought a circular cut like granite countertop and had them, I glued them together, and it cost me like $900, and it looked just like a restoration hardware table that was going to be like $4,000. There are just many stories like that in my life that every time I say, oh, I just did it myself, all of my friends are like, oh, of course you did. Here's a fail. I lifted my brows and my eyelashes this weekend, and I thought it went so well. Like, this brow looks so good, and my lashes actually look amazing. But when you go and do it and you get both of them done, you literally have to sit there for 2+ hours, and I just cannot do that. Don't want to spend the time and money, even though it is worth the time and money because they do an amazing job. I've had it done before. I was like, I'm just going to order one of those kits and I'm going to do it myself. And I ordered the kit that, first of all, got me on an Instagram ad. Second of all, the ingredients were not concerned about carcinogens, endocrine disruptors. So it seems like a safer option. And it was very easy to use and user-friendly. Like, this is totally on me. But what happened is I did it. It looked amazing. It looked great. And then I immediately went to sleep, and you still have some of like the perming setting lotion on there because you can't wet your brows. So I think what happened is I immediately went to sleep, and then it just crimped this whole side of my brows. So this right brow of mine looks really funky. So note to self, if you do a DIY lash and brow lift, don't go to sleep right afterwards. There's my tip. Getting into the actual content of today's episode after my story I needed to share, because I knew you'd be staring at my brow the whole time. Or I guess I had that insecurity that you would. I want to go over two failures or circumstances that I was just devastated over. And I could have played the victim, but how I kind of turned that around, because I think this happens a lot in life, and it happens to me all the time. I think I'm blessed enough to say that I have not had any tremendous traumas like I can compare to other people in life. I've not had, I've not lost a loved one very close to me. I have not suffered a huge abusive trauma in any way. So I think it's important to put it into that perspective. But granted, these were still devastating and traumatic for me at the time, or even working through those things. And I could have played the victim, and I could have kept the narrative of what I was telling myself. So it took a few different approaches in each situation to work through them, but I want to tell you these stories and then how I reframed my perspective of rejection to a mindset of positivity and redirection. So how to pivot from a perception of rejection to redirection, and really even protection from my perspective. So my first story is, if you are new, have not heard me tell this story before, I have never met my biological father. It's not that this has not affected me in my life up until I decided to deal with it. I just chose to ignore it. So for example, through my teenage years, my 20s, when people would ask me about it or it would come up, I would just kind of like shrug it off. And I genuinely felt this way and believed that he didn't want to know me, so I don't want to know him. Or, you know, if he tried to find me or came into my life, like, how would I react? It was more of like a defense type of reaction of, why would I want to take the time to speak with someone that didn't want to be a part of my life? I can tell you this from experience: ignoring it or compartmentalizing past situations will only cause issues down the road. Guaranteed, you can take that to the bank. I can tell you from experience. Until I was in my 30s, I didn't really look at what that childhood trauma caused in my life passively. I didn't even realize it. I really believe it was always the root cause of not feeling like I am, because I still struggle with it, or was enough in several situations. Like, I always had to earn people's attention and love, or it would be lost. Or if I didn't earn their approval, it was like, well, of course, from the day I was born, I haven't been good enough. Or so I believed, subconsciously told myself. Another way that showed up in me not dealing with the trauma of feeling rejected by my biological father is in my marriage. When my husband and I would get into an argument and he would get frustrated and leave the conversation, it would make me just spiral and lose my temper. If I would have just worked through this earlier, realizing it has a lot to do with being left and walked out on as a child, I could have communicated that so much earlier with him. We could have avoided a few escalations. Because all he saw was me trying to control the situation and wanting to control whether he stayed in the conversation or not. So highly encourage you, after I tell this next story, I'm going to tell you how I would recommend to work through things like that. Because I think a lot of people even think or believe, I don't really have any childhood traumas. Really, I thought that when I did the counseling that I went through, that goes back into why are we the way that we are from the experiences that we've had in the past. I really had to work through that and dig deep and work through, oh, maybe that really did affect me. And I was just shoving it down because I didn't know or didn't want to address it. And that's a defense mechanism, that I can love that part of me and be thankful for the part of me that was trying to just protect myself, because that's what it was. Second story, and this is the most recent and really one of the most traumatizing things. And I need to count my blessings if that is the most traumatizing thing. I'm not trying to be dismissive of my experience, but I also completely understand that there are way bigger, way worse traumas out there. I'm not discounting that. Almost 2 years ago now, which I can smile about it and be so incredibly happy because my life is so much better now, but almost 2 years ago, I was suddenly fired from a company that I worked at for 8 years. And I was 23 when I began at this company. So essentially, a child in the very beginnings of the real world. In my opinion, those years, your early 20s, is the most formative time of your life. Your prefrontal cortex is not even developed yet, which, for those of you that don't know, it regulates our thoughts, actions, and emotions. That usually, don't quote me on this, but it's somewhere around 26 or 27, does not even fully develop. But you're also expected to begin functioning as an independent human in the real world at this time, even when that's not developed. So this is a time, your mid, early 20s, that I believe is so impactful in someone's life. And the things that you're going through at that time are impactful too. And I was at this practice that entire time. It was a smaller practice with only 4 locations, and I worked very closely with the owner of this practice. This practice grew over many years. I think when I left or exited, it had like 13 locations. So it grew within that time period, and the owner became like a mother figure to me. I mean, she guided me. She taught me in a medical sense as a nurse practitioner, but then also gave me personal advice too. So she knew a lot of the most intricate details of my life, about my kids, my marriage, my family. Even when I had to take someone in my immediate family to rehab multiple times. And I say all of this to paint a picture for you. This was not just an acquaintance type relationship. My end certainly wasn't. And over the course of 8 years, I was the owner's of the practice nurse. I worked closely with her son in a director role managing the practice. And then the last 5 years, I was a nurse practitioner there. So for those last 2 years, I began my social media, my side business, while always discussing the trajectory and the path with her. I would finish my website. I would text it to her to look at. "Oh, it's beautiful. It looks great," she would say. We would have occasional meetings. I would tell her my business plans, how it's going, because she always asked. And I vividly remember her always being so proud and so encouraging. And to this day, we're going to exit this story. I just wanted you to really understand the way that I felt, and maybe that's just how I felt. You know, there's 3 sides to every story, each person's or each side and the truth. But to this day, I still don't fully understand what happened. And as time goes on, I forget parts and pieces. Thank God, that's a blessing. I don't really want to remember those things. I don't need to for a legality standpoint anymore either, because it's almost been 2 years. My contract is almost up. Or my non-compete. And all I remember was being asked to dinner and being told I have to leave, or if I want to stay, I have to shut all of my social media down and my side business. And as traumatic as that was alone, that would be a walk in the park if it ended there. If it would have been just that, I would have been left really, really hurt and still felt blindsided. But what transpired over the next 30 days after that, after I said, okay, you know, I put too much time, effort, money. I also feel like this is my purpose, that I can't shut it down. So I, you know, we had a mutual understanding to leave. I was still really, really hurt. But then within 30 days, something happened. I was asked to meet at a Starbucks to go over options because they had spoken with attorneys, and I was fired on the spot at Starbucks in public. Apparently that is a thing to have a witness. I don't know. I think it's quite ridiculous, but I was told because I was competing with the practice and in breach of my contract that I had had for 5 years and been doing the same thing for 2 years, which I still don't understand. But the details aren't the important part, because like I said, everybody's got a side, and we aren't here to get stuck on the hurt. But I hope that painted a picture of how badly that hurt me at the time. I say we, because there were so many people involved with it, my husband, my friends, whom all still work there. We're here to see the victory in it now. And it was working through this rejection that I got perspective. And I realized, number one, my relationship with that woman was a trauma bond. I saw things in her that I lacked from my mother that I craved. And also, my life is far better than it would have ever been staying there. The opportunities I have been afforded, the relationships that I've made, the things that have happened in my life simply would not have happened if I would have stayed there. And in the moment, it's hard. It is so hard to see the forest through the trees. And listen, there are some things, and some of you out there, like I said, that have experienced way worse and maybe rolling your eyes at that devastating thing that happened to me in my life. But what matters is always what we choose to do with it. And here's the thing. You can choose. You can always choose to play the victim or be the victor. And how I personally overcame these things, two things, and these are going to be really quick. First and foremost, counseling. I've spoken about this before. I highly recommend types of counseling or therapy that go back to your childhood traumas, because without doing that, I did not realize some of the deep hurts and patterns that I followed as an adult had everything to do with my childhood. Like I said, I had no idea that the rejection from my biological father affected me in the way that it did until I really had someone to guide me through working through that. And I will link the faith-based one that my husband and I both worked through. Highly recommend it. I can say that it really turned our marriage around or saved our marriage. There were several things, but that was one pivotal thing, us both going through that counseling program, that impacted our lives and our marriage. But here's the thing, I get it. Some people are not ready for counseling, not ready for therapy. You know, I'm not currently right now in counseling or therapy. If I got to a place where I felt like I needed that guidance again, I would take it. So if you're not ready for it, or you don't want to do that right now in your life, I highly recommend just starting with a book, specifically Louise Hay, You Can Heal Your Life. I will always recommend this book. This was in the episode of the books that I recommend. I talk about it with clients working through emotional traumas. I cannot recommend this book enough. I listened to it on audio this year and will likely listen to it again every single year. It was that impactful for me. Number two, staying rooted and shifting your mindset. Because you can't just snap your fingers and say, I want to think differently, I want a different perspective, I want to see things differently. And that's what probably a lot of you are listening to this and saying right now, okay, Vanna, that sounds great, but like, how do I do this? And my two recommendations to start with are positive affirmations and journaling. That may come to no surprise to people in this community because I talk about it a good amount. But what this looks like specifically for me is every morning I get up early, and if I don't get up early, I make it up on my lunch break. So there are two times where I have a set time or a grace period within my day. I know I'm going to get this done. I read my devotional and Bible to fill myself with the truth, because man, can we get lost in knowing what the truth is and sway with this world if we don't, or me personally. So I journal through my devotional prompts, but if you don't have prompts, you can simply write down three things you're grateful for today and in that moment, and three accomplishments. And sometimes for me, one of them is the fact that I simply got up early, because that's something that is so hard for me to do. So if I need a prompt and one of them is an accomplishment, it's, hey, I got up early. And that is good enough for me. It does not have to be complicated. But I also make sure that I listen to positive affirmations once a day. And I'll link the episode. I talked about the app I use for this. But if you don't want to invest in an app, or you know, you want something that's not going to cost you anything, you can find positive affirmations for free on YouTube, or just Google it and find some. Listen, I get it. We all have difficult times. We have things that can be so hard, but you choose who holds the power. Do you hold that power, or are you giving it away? It's that simple. That's the reality of it. So try these few things. Let me know how it goes. At the very least, these two things. Read You Can Heal Your Life by Louise Hay. And two, pick a time to write down three things every day that you are grateful for and that you have accomplished. I know you can do those two things. And then build upon those. I hope this was helpful. Love you guys.
Before you go, to grow our Mom Guilt community, rate and review on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen. Find and follow us on Instagram at Mom Guilt Podcast and on TikTok at Vanna_NP. You can also watch each episode in video form at my YouTube channel, Vanna Padilla. Last but not least, always remember, take what you need, and it's okay to want more. See you next time, Mama.